There's an old song that says the best things in life are free. That may be true, but a lot of kids today are growing up taking this sentiment too literally, and they never learn the value and the importance of work.
Here's Dr. James Dobson for Family Talk.
My friend Ron Blue is a financial consultant and the author of several books about money management. He says parents should show their children the connection between work and rewards. In other words, we need to make it clear that money must be earned. Children must learn that income is the result of investing time, energy, and talents in worthwhile activities. It's okay to give your children gifts and surprises, of course, but make sure they understand that most things in life aren't free. The hard part about teaching this lesson is that parents must endure the discomfort of saying no to the many demands of persistent children. And some moms and dads just can't resist that daily pressure, resulting in a situation one psychologist called denial of denial. In other words, every child needs to be told no on occasion. Otherwise, why should they sweat for it when they can get it for free? Well, that's why, within reason, I recommend that parents require children to earn their own money to buy the things they want. They'll learn that it takes commitment and persistence to survive financially, which should serve them well as they move into the adult years.
To find out how you can partner with Family Talk, go to drjamesdobson.org.
Today on Family Talk.
It's no secret that the business world has become more greedy and immoral than ever before, but is that a reason for Christians to forget that their work should glorify God? Shouldn't biblical morality direct every facet of our lives? Well, it should. It benefits us in the long run.
Life gets better when you follow God's principles. It is all right here in the Bible. Everything that we have discussed today about running a business is right out of the Bible. There's nothing new about this. As Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. Run your business, run your family life, run your personal life according to the Bible, and you know life gets so much easier and so much better.
This is Family Talk, the radio division of the James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh with your host, respected child psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. Now, on today's program, you're going to hear the conclusion of a classic broadcast focused on a Christian perspective of the business world. Dr. Dobson's guest again was the man that you just heard, Mr. Jim Perry. Jim is a successful businessman and a CPA. He has decades of experience as a financial advisor as well. On our last broadcast, he explained the corrupt practices that businesses use to cut corners and preserve a profitable bottom line. Jim also warned owners and managers to avoid borrowing money and also show fiscal responsibility as well. In just a moment, Jim Perry and Dr. Dobson will delve into the influence of tax breaks on small businesses. They'll also explain how organizations cut costs when going through tough economic stretches. Now, before we get started, this conversation was originally recorded shortly before the 2012 presidential election, so there is some timely and dated content that you're going to be hearing in this conversation. That being said, please know that the core concepts that they shared back then are still very applicable to us here in 2019.
Let me say this. I'm involved in small businesses, as you know. I have been all my life. I will tell you that every business that I'm involved in needs to hire people today. Every business that I know about, every other business owner, needs to hire people today. The reason why we are not hiring people today is because there is so much uncertainty, and that prevents us from being able to pay more employees. So we're all overworking at this point in time, and we'd like to hire people. Let me explain something that a lot of people don't realize. We heard a lot of campaign rhetoric over this campaign. And we've heard the Republicans say that if you lower taxes, it increases jobs. And we've heard the Democrats say that is not true. Let me tell you what I think. And most people have never looked at it at this level, but this is universally true in all businesses. And I don't want to get into too many accounting terms here, but a business reports its results, its financial results, on financial statements. And in those financial statements, you will have a balance sheet and an income statement. And I'm going to talk about just the income statement. An income statement, up at the top line, you will have the revenues of the business. And then below the revenues, you will have all these various expense categories. And then the bottom line, you've heard the term bottom line, that's your net profit. It's revenues less expenses. Here is the truth about running a business. Of all those expenses, just think about what you can control as a business owner, because there are a lot of expenses you can't control. Let me give you an example. When times are tough, you don't get to call up your landlord and say, hey, gee, times are tough. Can you reduce my rent? They're not going to do it. You don't get to call the phone company and say, gee, times are tough. Will you reduce my phone bill? Doesn't happen. You can't call up FedEx and ask if they'll reduce your courier charges. You can't call up your suppliers and force them to give you lower prices. There is one expense category on your income statement that you get to control, and it happens to be, in most cases, your largest expense category, and it's payroll expense. Some people call it salaries and wages, and then you will also have payroll taxes. When you think that there will be additional expenses added to your business, such as taxes and regulation, the only place you can make that up is in your payroll expense category. So if there's additional taxes and regulation that you have to pay, that means there's fewer payroll expenses that you can afford. That means workers get laid off. The people who stay with you don't get the raises they deserved, who don't get the bonuses they deserve. Small is better than big. Most people don't believe that. They think the bigger they get, the more business they take on, they make more profit and they're better off. That is not true, because as you grow, it costs money to grow. As you grow, it takes more time, management, employees, and you have to absorb that growth. I will tell you, when I was with the bank, and when I was with the CPA firm, and then ultimately in the consulting business, there is a level of growth that a typical business can sustain. And when they grow faster than that, they tend to get into trouble. So when you see a business growing 40, 50, 60% a year, that is a business that is a candidate to get into trouble, because you cannot sustain that level of growth. What you usually find is the maximum a business can grow in any one year is about 15 to 20% consistently. And a business that does that over 5 or 10 years is doing extremely well. But you don't want to grow too fast. Now, if taxes and regulation costs go down, you have more money to spend on payroll. Therefore, you hire more people and you try to grow your business. It is as simple as that.
Well, let me boil that down. We've heard ad infinitum in the last year that a lot of our economic problems in this country have been government-induced, that governments made it hard to run a small business. There have been regulations, there have been requirements, things that have taken us, you called them earlier, distractions. Is that true? Does that largely account for the financial, economic problems we've had?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would tell you that is one of the biggest reasons. It is unnecessary. Now, look, here's what I believe about government. I believe the people that are doing these things, putting regulations in place and so forth, they are well-intentioned in many cases. They think what they're doing benefits the public. What they don't understand, because they aren't from the business world, is that when you add cost to a business, then that business has to find a way to save costs somewhere else. And what most people don't realize who have never run a business is that the only large expense category, the only large cost category that you get to control is payroll expense. Yeah. So when your costs go up, payroll costs have to go down to be able to pay those additional costs.
Many of those bureaucrats that are telling you what to do have never met a payroll themselves.
Well, never. You know, President Obama's cabinet, not one of those people have ever been in business, never made a payroll. I heard a statistic once that in most presidential administrations, the statistic is somewhere between 55 and 60% of all the people that work in that administration are from the private business or from the business world. In the Obama administration, instead of a 55 to 60% experience rate, it's 6%. So 94% of the people in the Obama administration have never been in the business sector.
I'm Roger Marsh, and you've been listening to businessman Jim Perry on this classic edition of Family Talk. Now, as a quick reminder, this interview was originally recorded a few months before the 2012 presidential election. We found his insights back then so fascinating, we've decided to leave some of that content in for you here today as well. Now, before we rejoin this timeless program, though, I want to remind you of how you can partner with us in this ministry. The Dobson Family Institute is completely supported by faithful listeners just like you. It's no secret that the summer months are tough, and I don't mind telling you that this past summer was particularly difficult for us, but your generous contributions helped us make it through. We ask that you would continue to prayerfully consider standing with Dr. Dobson throughout the remainder of this year. Our fight for the institution of the family is far from over, and we still need your help. Go to drjamesdobson.org for more information on how you can make your donation today. You can do that online at drjamesdobson.org, or you can call us at 877-732-6825 and find out how to make a donation over the phone. That's 877-732-6825. Let's return you now to the remainder of today's program. We will begin with a portion from our last broadcast, which focused on the dangers of borrowing and cutting corners. Here once again is Dr. Dobson, along with very successful businessman Jim Perry, on this edition of Family Talk.
The problem that I see is that borrowing money becomes addictive. Many businesses, in fact, I would tell you most businesses never ever pay off their debt. What'll happen is they'll continue to renew their lines of credit each year. They'll continually restructure or refinance that debt, but they never pay it off. And that's the issue. It becomes a normal part of their operations so that as things, maybe they go through a downturn in the business, maybe there's a bump in the economy, and now they have all this debt on their books, and it becomes a real problem for them. And they have to cut back their other operations in order to try to service the debt, and then it's a never-ending cycle. It just continues going downhill from there. What happens with the lenders is they don't want to lose that loan. They don't want the business to go down, so they continue to increase the amount of the debt, trying to keep it alive, so that when it finally gets to a point where it's going to fail, it has way too much debt on the books, and that's when I would usually see a business. I saw an interview a long time ago when President George H.W. Bush was running against Bill Clinton, and there was a third-party candidate, Ross Perot. You may remember that.
Yes.
And he is a billionaire from Dallas. He's been very successful in several businesses. He was interviewed, and he said the most interesting thing. He said that debt and interest costs are killing the American family. And it's true. Most people, we don't realize how much we spend paying off debt. How much interest is paid? It applies to families and individuals. It applies to businesses, and it applies to large businesses. Just think of this. When you have General Motors, Chrysler, and Ford all in front of a congressional committee asking for bailouts, we have a problem. Debt is addictive. People use it in the wrong way. And in most cases, they shouldn't even have that debt outstanding.
Explain that joint and several liability.
Okay. Here's the issue. When you sign, let's say that you and three or four other people that you know want to go down and you want to borrow money for a business. You have partners in this business, or maybe you're just a manager of the business and they're asking you to give a guarantee on this business loan, a loan to a business. What happens is that when you have two or three or four people, more than one person guaranteeing that debt, you're not just guaranteeing your portion of the debt. You have what's called joint and several liability, where each individual is guaranteeing all of the debt, 100% of the debt. So what happens is that an otherwise frugal person that wouldn't go borrow enough for just, you know, to exceed what his capability of repayment would be, he'll go into a partnership or go into a business with other people, and all of a sudden they've got this large loan that any one of them individually could never repay. Guess what? The loan gets into trouble. Guess what the lender does? The lender goes after all of them and collects whoever the lender can collect from. Then the burden is on the person who had to give up the money to go get it from all the partners. Invariably, those people in that partnership, many of them end up having to file bankruptcy. I know people who have lost their houses over this very issue. It is more prevalent than you might think. It's what Ross Perot says. Debt and interest are killing the average American family. Most people have no business taking on a lot of debt. They just have no business. We as a society have promoted it. It's part of our psyche. It's no big deal. It is a big deal. You know, you have to be very careful when you borrow money. And when you take on liability, you sign an agreement that causes you to make representations and warranties. Therefore, you're guaranteeing something. You're indemnifying somebody. Those are things that are real, and they come back to bite you more often than you realize.
To put it simply, if Ryan and I borrow money and I sign this joint and several liability and he didn't pay, I get to pay that.
You get to pay it.
Now, so don't come knocking on my door, man.
And here's what the Bible says. Proverbs 22:26, do not be among those who give pledges, among those who become sureties for debts. It's real clear. You know, what people don't realize is they think the Bible is a religious book. And it is. It is the inspired word of God. But it's more than that. You know, God loves us enough that he wants to give us a blueprint that we can live our lives and have an easier time of it. Life gets better when you follow God's principles. It is all right here in the Bible. Everything that we have discussed today about running a business is right out of the Bible. There's nothing new about this. As Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. Run your business, run your family life, run your personal life according to the Bible, and you know life gets so much easier and so much better. I will tell you that in the businesses that I go into, they are all delinquent because they're in distress. And the fastest way to ruin your business reputation, and I think your Christian witness, is to not pay bills on time. You know, there is a verse, and it's a wonderful verse, and it's extremely pointed. And let me find that for you. In James 5:4, it says, look, the wages you failed to pay the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of Lord Almighty. Now, just think about that for a minute. Who on earth would want God in heaven to be hearing that you refuse to pay someone for their work? And I will tell you, most businesses many businesses, but the majority that I see do not pay their suppliers on time.
That is a shocking scripture to think that God himself is paying attention to the way I handle these details and the way I deal with money and people.
Well, just think about that. It says he hears it. So a lot of the businesses that we deal with, and I've been doing this for a long time, as you know, they will delay you. They will short pay you. They will take discounts that they are not entitled to. And then they are not around to take phone calls when you call them to find out where their money is. And that is a standard practice everywhere. And I will tell you what is so interesting about it. They don't save enough money to lose the suppliers that they're losing and have to replace them all the time. In every business I'm in, I have learned that you do not have to be someone's biggest customer to be their best customer. All you have to be is their best paying customer. And we compete against larger companies all the time and beat them by doing one thing. We pay our vendors promptly. As soon as we get a bill from somebody, we pay the bill. We don't use terms. We pay the bill right then. If we don't have the money, we don't buy the product or service until we have the money. Here's what happens. We always get the best pricing that they offer. We always get faster delivery. So when I'm producing product, for instance, and I'm using a contract manufacturer, every contract manufacturer that I use will put me on the line first, even ahead of companies that are a lot larger than I am, because they know they're going to get their money immediately. It is so easy to compete against companies who do not pay their bills on time. I'm just going to refer to Proverbs once more, because there is a wonderful verse. Proverbs 23:4 tells us, do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint. And that's what you have to do when you're running a business. You run it straight up. You don't cut corners. You meet the needs. You take care of your customers, your suppliers, your employees.
Business failure creates enormous stress, doesn't it?
It does.
For everybody, but especially the top person.
It does, absolutely.
Now, you ever get involved in one of those businesses and your heart really goes out to some good guy who just made some stupid mistakes?
Oh, absolutely. I can tell you I have developed a lot of very close friendships with the businesses that I've been inside of, even those that I might have looked at but did not take an interest in or did not consult with. But many of my consulting clients became very good friends. As we fixed their business, in many cases they had things in their personal life that were not going well, relationships with their spouse, with their children. And I cannot tell you how many of those personal situations that you also find yourself in that if you can add an encouraging thought here or there, you can show them how to fix issues, give them some optimism, give them some hope to grab onto. It's amazing how many great relationships you build not only with the business owner, not only with the management team, the employees, but also their family members.
Let's address the person out there who lost his job. And he's been looking for a year and he's discouraged and he thinks, if I can't work for somebody else, maybe I can work for myself. How would he go about starting a business if he doesn't have a lot of money? And what are some principles that you could give him to give him the best chance of making it?
Well, the first thing that someone starting a business needs to think of is they will automatically think, I need a certain amount of money. How do I get that? And maybe I should go borrow it from the bank. That is not the way to start. Another way to not start is don't think of something that you really enjoy doing and maybe I could make a living at this. That is not the way to start a business. What they should be doing is trying to observe where there are needs and where businesses, particularly not consumers so much, but where businesses have needs and those needs are not being fulfilled. And that is the service or the product that they want to provide. They want to provide a service or product to meet a need. They need to analyze it in a way of there is a need out there. What is the cost to the business to not meet that need? What is the cost to industry to not meet that need? Could I charge some percentage of that and be able to make a living? And that is the best way to start a business, not to find something that you think you like to do and then hope that somebody will pay you for that, because that doesn't ever happen. And that's how most people start businesses.
Jim, this has been such practical stuff. I hope our listeners have really been paying attention, because there are a lot of businesses in trouble out there, and it may be because of some of the principles that you talked about that are not being followed. I knew it would be this way. That's why I asked you to come and be with us. I enjoyed that hour and a half that we spent together talking about just these issues. And I'm not a businessman, but I learned things and I enjoyed our conversation. Appreciate your friendship. Give Carol our regards, and we got to go. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Doug.
This is Roger Marsh once again, and I hope you've enjoyed this two-part broadcast here on Family Talk. Our focus has been on building integrity in the business world as well as the corporate world, and our special guest has been businessman Jim Perry. Learn more about Jim on our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org, and while you're there, you'll also find a link for information on how to order a physical CD of this two-day program as well. Simply click on the button that says Order a CD to get your copy. That's drjamesdobson.org, and then go to today's broadcast page for all that information. Now, while you're online, be sure to check out the Dobson Digital Library as well. This is our complete inventory of Dr. Dobson's work, and that goes back over the last 40 years. We have cataloged all of his articles, all of his blogs, every newsletter, and every past radio program as resources you can access. Now, you can also search under the topics of like marriage and faith and parenting and culture. There's individual tabs for each of those to help you find what you need. You don't have to look elsewhere for practical tools and insights to help your family. All you have to do is take advantage of Dr. Dobson's years of knowledge when you go to dobsonlibrary.com. That's dobsonlibrary.com. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening today. Make sure to tune in again tomorrow to hear Dr. Dobson's recent interview with author and speaker Rebecca Gregory. Now, Rebecca has a powerful testimony of narrowly surviving the infamous Boston Marathon bombing. She sustained brutal injuries that led to the amputation of her leg. But despite those grim circumstances, she never lost her faith in God. Hers is an incredibly riveting story, and you won't want to miss it. So join us here next time for that story right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Tim Clinton, Executive Director of the James Dobson Family Institute. Our ministry here exists to honor the Lord through ministering to today's families and marriages all over the world. We couldn't accomplish that, however, without your support. And as the JDFI, the James Dobson Family Institute, continues to grow, we need your help. Visit us, will you do that, at drjamesdobson.org. Or call us toll-free at 877-732-6825. Stand with us and fight for righteousness and culture.